Oh, YUL, you can take a cup home. The search and rescue team has already left for us. I've only caught an egg so far. Kirill, be careful, be careful. We're actually in Jelenjeep now. There are no corpses here. They probably put something else in these pies besides MSG. And this is the head of the administration, Tayani. There are
pies with marijuana. What's in there? Everything, for the sake of content. Oh, the smell is amazing here. Hello everyone, dear friends, my name is Mike Navalis. And last year in June, I visited Taiwan with my beloved wife. By the way, Taiwan is written with a shortened form, unlike Thailand. And this video is, in fact, such travel notes. My first TV vlog on the channel. Enjoy watching. This is the street where everyone eats. Accordingly, we also came to eat. Look at the queue. They probably put something else in these pies besides MSG. And by the way, I want to introduce you to this. This is Kirill. He was our guide during the 3 days we were in Taiwan. He has been living there for several years, studying, working, and teaching Chinese, among other things. He provided us with invaluable help on our trip. Huge respect to him, thank you. And in the description there is a link to his Telegram. He talks about, among other things, his life in Taiwan, if you are interested.
Kirill, tell us about life in Taiwan. Do you feel that Taiwan will soon return to its native Gavan? No, I don't feel it. I came here, and all the guys here are so relaxed. I don't see anyone in camouflage, and I don't see people marching. They didn't even ask me the purpose of my visit, although, well, it's clear that I have a tourist visa. You are all very relaxed here, right? Yes, everyone started. My friends from the mainland write to me all the time, asking what's going on, like some kind of news. I can't remember right now, but I know one old lady who made noodles. That's it. She told me something there, what you said about the bridge, and she also wrote me something, I can look at more, go ahead, go ahead. I'll tell you for now, what if you don't know, there was this news, the Chinese were actively reposting it in their WeChats, that Baidu appeared on maps, well, like, that the Chinese are planning to build a bridge to Taiwan from the mainland. And everyone is like, well, someone just wrote something there. If they had started driving piles there, roughly speaking, you know, well, but this is just some kind of cartoon. That's why, but it impressed someone. Not me, but the local audience, so to speak. That's it. It seems to me that much of what is happening in China regarding the Taiwan, let's say, issue and Taiwan's independence, yes, all of this is being done for a purely local audience, because the Taiwanese don't give a damn about it, and the world, by and large, doesn't either, but, of course, everyone is a little tense, afraid that there will be a new war, a new escalation. That's it. But in essence, it's a storm in a teacup, as they say. In short, here's the message. She wrote that in this duan she saw that some, you know, Taiwanese returned, to their homeland. Something like that. She didn't specify who exactly it was. Just like, hey, I get it. It's like the Israelis after the Hamas attack flew to Israel in unison to defend their homeland. And they, yes, probably the Taiwanese were like, back, back. She asks, we won't bother you. Like, what are you going to do? What are you foreigners going to do? Yeah, in short, you're relaxing. I also had this theory that all these decades they've been living under some kind of pressure, that something could happen in this state of some kind of uncertainty. And I just, as a person who lives far from home, you start to feel it when, well, that's the story. And they're the same thing, well, in short, this feeling of uncertainty, it puts a lot of pressure on the psyche. That's it. And I had this theory that, well, Taiwan became one of these four, in my opinion, Asian tigers precisely because they were constantly under such tension, they needed to somehow survive. So I told this to a Taiwanese friend of mine, and he said that, in general, we don't feel any pressure.
In general, to get to Taiwan, Russian citizens need a visa. Naturally, you can't get such a visa in mainland China. Well, because Taiwan is, in China's opinion, a part of China. Well, let's agree with them while we live here. And the procedure is simple, but you need to go to Hong Kong. Show your hotel reservations, these airline tickets, a bank statement. And this morning before lunch, apply for a visa, pick it up tomorrow after lunch. Therefore, if you suddenly plan to go to Hong Kong for a few days, you can combine business with pleasure and apply for a visa in Taiwan. By the way, despite all the hype around this relationship, which is very tense between China and Taiwan, in fact there are plenty of flights from China to Taiwan. If there were such relations between these entities, let's say, very, very tense on the verge of a military, armed conflict, it is unlikely that, civilian flights would fly so often.
Tell us, please, what wonderful place did you bring us? It's in the center of Taipei, right? Some Arbat Street. This is an ordinary yeshi, the usual one, to the night market. Yeah, it's
not night now, though, but
why are we standing in such a long line? Because they have marijuana pies there. What's there? They have oysters here. It's a famous dish with oysters. Here, and this restaurant, it's on the Michelin list. It doesn't have a Michelin list here, but it has, in short, it was on that list, at least. There are 8 classic Chinese cuisines. I haven't seen Tavern Cuisine there. It's probably a local cuisine. Well, let's try. It's actually interesting. Tavern Cuisine, is it seafood or not only? I think not only. Well, let's try now.
UHU.
Kirill, what 3 advantages can you name? You've lived on the continent and on the island. Can you compare? Tell me, right off the bat. What are the 3 advantages and 3 disadvantages of Taiwan, if possible? 3 pluses, so there are few people. The second, no, you don't need a VPN, free internet.
Oh, yeah.
And the third, I think, is, clean air and, in short, good quality food. Those are probably those 3 things. Okay. Are there any minuses at all? Minuses. You have to, in short, walk around with a wallet with change. That's it. That is.
Digitalization is not at that level here, right?
Yeah. Digitalization is not at that level, right? And there are no Taba, that is, local stores. They charge for delivery to the distribution center. That's the minus. Here, for example, if I want to go somewhere, there are no visa centers here. That is, you have to, in short, bother with a visa. That's it.
Well, it's connected with the status of Taiwan, yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's it. But in fact, it's really cool here. We all come, and enjoy Taiwan. So, we are in a Michelin restaurant. Well, you can tell by the ambience,
right?
So, we ordered well, let's each have our own association. Here, we got them. These are the sauces.
Dot, these are the oysters, already shucked. Here. And generously poured over them, and with some kind of sauce. Some kind of sauce. What are your impressions, Yulia?
Well, first of all, this is an oyster. Very tasty. The sauce is not spicy.
This pleasure costs an ideal. 90 per serving. Yes, delicious. Well, that comes out to about 200 rubles. Accordingly, about 22, probably, yuan.
Unconvincing. You didn't eat this thing. I
agree.
Delicious.
Cool, I like it. Unusual. Normal. Kirill, we are now at the memorial, yes, to Chiang Kai-shek. Tell me, please, how do you feel? Well, based on what you know, how do you feel now, many years later, about Chiang Kai-shek, about his figure, so to speak, historical?
In fact, everything I know about this, I know more, probably, from the news. I'll tell you a little about this.
Well, that is,
Here's about the same situation as we have, for example, with Lenin's mausoleum, right? Changshi, well, in general, he is such a controversial political figure, that is, there are things, like, good, on the other hand, there are bad, therefore a large number of people, well, are not happy with the fact that such, like, well, in essence, probably, the main square in Taiwan, it is named in part after him, here is his memorial, here. And, for example, there is also a Changshi Park, where statues were taken from all over Taiwan. And in general,
nothing special. It's like with the Lenin statues, right? Right?
Interesting. There are parks all over Taiwan, which are usually named 228, that is, in honor of February 28th. This was an incident in which, in general, people suffered there, and the period of the so-called Baishik began. It was this white terror, when they began, in general, to oppress people there. The local original population, which is called the Nation Ren, that is, well, in short, who lived here, was swept away. So, and when Chiang Kai-shek came with his army, yes, they began to be called, as it were, Weishen, that is, outsiders. So, and these outsiders, they began, well, in essence, to rule Taiwan. They forbade the locals to speak their dialect, Taiyu. So, and they forced everyone to learn and speak Chinese, Potemhua.
Kirill, tell me, how do today's Thais feel about the Chinese from the mainland?
This is a very interesting question. And the opinion is something like this, and the younger generation, it is for the independence of Taiwan, not for China and Taiwan to unite, but the older generation is for them to unite, but without the communists. Well, if we speak very, very briefly, I think that those who support the unification of China and Taiwan, they have, well, two lines. The first is that they want to feel part of a large nation. The second is business, it's money, 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 as they actually say. So,
Kirill, tell me, did you quickly get used to the fact that a traditional hieroglyph is used here? It seems to me, I don't know, maybe I'm lying a little now, but at least I have such a feeling that it took somewhere, probably, 2 to 4 weeks to get used to it. That is, the feeling is about the same when you look at the Ukrainian text. Here you seem to not understand something, and then you start to look and understand. There, and then you get used to it completely. This is if we are talking about reading. If about writing, well, of course, there, well, the process takes longer. There, but with reading, it seems to me, it is very easy to get used to. And I heard that, the Taiwanese have some of their own words, yes, that are not on the mainland. So you study at the marketing department. Yes. I once told you, I thought, well, marketing NCO in Chinese, I think so. Yes, but you said that the department is called differently. Sin, Sin Xiao, Sin, like Natra, this is Sin. Well, there are probably some other words of their own, there are others. Yes, of course, yes, on the mainland tomatoes. Yes, this is Sihanchi. Here it is Fantia, like this Fantian, right? Potatoes, yes, on the mainland do. Yes, in Taiwan. And Malinshu. Malinshu. And the most important thing, since we are in the metro, yes, here the metro is not Ditkie. Here the metro is Dian. How is that? It is not Ditkie.
It is not Ditkie.
They had such logic, because most of the metro stations, they pass as if above the ground, so well, and Pit is like underground. That is why they thought so and took Zen. That is their other word. Yes, I understand. Well, speaking about the difference between Taiwan and continental China, what struck and surprised me is that now in Taiwan it is 114. How is that? Isn't it 2025, you ask? No, but the thing is that in Taiwan they count their summer from the founding of the Republic of China. What else is different about Taiwan if you compare it to continental China? Ah, the quiet Chinese. And you, when you come there, you are even a little shocked by how quiet it is. You think, well, it's clear that there are much fewer people, but even if you're in a crowd, in the subway, everyone is very quiet, very well-mannered, no one listens to TikTok at full volume, yes, as sometimes happens. No one talks loudly. It's very nice. And our local guys told us, by the way, that the Taiwanese don't drink hot water. Can you imagine? Well, this is the biggest insight. You can put it in the headline, yes, because we're used to the fact that on the continent they have money, yes, drink hot water, it's a cure for all diseases. So, in Taiwan they don't drink hot water, they're used to drinking cold water. That's it, that it's not necessary to be Chinese and drink hot water, as it turns out. Well, what other differences? It's clear that everything that is prohibited on the continent is allowed in Taiwan. That is, it is a liberal democracy, a multi-party system, elections, and gay marriage, free internet, and the absence of an endless number of cameras on the streets. We drove out of town to the coast, closer to the coast. There is the sea already. There is some abandoned castle here. I say hello to the friendly channel Shalala, which often talks about the architecture of Shanghai and also climbs into all sorts of abandoned buildings. In fact, we are now in Gelenjik, and this is the very palace.
That they wanted to turn into an apart hotel, but they failed. Joke. I heard that in this castle, there is an aqua disco. Is it true? 100% on yes, on the minus first floor. On the minus first floor, there is such a discotheque, it's a shame. Everything, for the sake of content. Oh, thank you.
Oh, the smell here. Gorgeous. This is what the former disco ball was filming. Travel, I'm filming. From me, he is like this. Except for you.
Oh, YUL, can I take a cup home?
No. Look, they're whole and good. Made of gong, I think. Oh, by the way, about gong, guys, you all know that there's a gong in Beijing, but Taipei has its own gong. And of course, the Taiwanese think it's more gong-ish, let's say, yeah. That is, there's a huge collection of exhibits, relics, because when Chiang Kai-shek fled to Taiwan, he took a bunch of exhibits, relics with him, more than 600,697,000, exhibits. And this museum only shows the smallest part of it. Here. That's why it's one of the most visited museums in the world. Ah, if you're on TV, be sure to go there and visit. And we're getting back to the walk through the abandoned castle. Take a look. And imagine, if this bottle is still open, how much is it worth now? Here.
Wow. Wow. This is a castle.
And there's another one from last time. And there's something hanging, I need to read it. It was called Pacific Resort Green Bay. Listen, well, how did
something happen in 10 years in 15 exercise machines?
I think he's a greenhorn.
He just went broke. Stop, guys. What about?
Kirill, one of the most famous Russian-speaking residents of Taiwan, is probably one of the most famous sinologists by the name of Malyuvin. Unfortunately, do you remember his name?
Vladimir Vyacheslavovich.
Vladimir Vyacheslavovich Malyuvin. I heard that you had the good fortune to cross paths with him somehow. Can you tell me about this story? It happened, but in general, in 2015 I was studying Taijiquan, and I came to the center, which is the center of concentration, which, in fact, he created.
Where was it all? It was on Tolskaya. In Moscow, yes, in Moscow.
So, well, and he, Vladimir Ryslavovich, constantly travels. He, is a professor, works as a professor in Taiwan, in general, teaches.
Taiwanese, yeah. So he came to us to give a masterclass. It was the first time, and at the same time, Vladimir Lovich is a radio host, he works for International Radio Taiwan. And so, in short, our first conversation, I met him, he was approaching this very center with a backpack, which, well, is a very cool detail. And, well, I just expressed my respect to him. What a cool, cool program. So, well, that was our first meeting. So, and the second thing is that we met here in Taiwan. Also at the Tadisuan classes and at the 25th anniversary of Radio Taiwan, here is the Russian service Kodo Russian speaking.
Interesting, three incredibly civilizations. Yes. And how did you find out about this place, Kirill?
On the internet. On the internet, everything is from the internet, you know? And yes, indeed, there is a swimming pool, an awesome abandoned castle, a view. This is a
really abandoned castle. In short, if there are investors, please contact Kirill. And our commission is already included, prospectively, right? Well, with a view of the sea. Look, a growing flourishing economy, even a fireplace, there are semiconductors.
Bar.
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 Not just a bar, it's
practically in the English style. Alabama.
Billiards, of course, not very big. The wooden floor shifts a little. I hope it doesn't fall through. What mirrors? Why hasn't anyone stolen the mirrors?
Oh, what a room. YUL, let's move here. Basically, well, tidy up there, sweep properly.
Paint a little. The chandelier is intact. Look, you know how to dry out carpets. Not just go through with a vacuum cleaner. I'll turn it on.
Kirill, tell us where you brought us. So, we arrived at one of the coasts of Taiwan. It's called, well, in English, one UFO village. So, There was a Finnish designer who came up with houses in such an interesting style. So, the gimmick of these houses was that, in short, it was a Finnish IKEA. In general, these houses could be assembled very quickly. And, as far as I understand, production was not very expensive. That's why, they were very easily distributed around the world. And there's even one of these flying saucers in Russia in Dombai. This is Taiwan in the 80s. Here. But the joke was that because of the climate, in general, it was very hot inside, so no one wanted to buy such houses. In general, these materials became more expensive, and in the end this whole thing, went bankrupt, was abandoned, and so on. This is like the official version. The unofficial version is that when they built here, they built on a former Dutch cemetery. That's it. And, by the way, when we went here, you really saw a cemetery here. That's it. So. And what's more, I talked to local Taiwanese. It seems like there was some kind of military base here a long, long time ago. Then they removed it all, tore it down. That's it. And when they started building on this former cemetery, all sorts of interesting things started happening. Workers were hanging themselves, there were some murders, all sorts of bad things happened. That's it. And that's why this place had such a bad reputation, and no one wanted to buy it either.
Let's go take a look inside. Yeah, let's go. Look, there are quite a few places like this in the world. What's unique about this place is that everything inside, well, almost everything has been preserved. That is, nothing was stolen. Be careful, you can. Wow. I doubt, of course, that all these things are really modern, but, for example, the tiles, I think they've really been there for a couple of decades. Yeah. We can go further. And you can live here too. Cool, cool. Okay, let's move on. Toilet. And I heard that housing in Navan is very expensive.
No, please, come and live. And look, it looks like a door in a spaceship. What a gorgeous view.
Super meaty. Thank you, Kirill.
Kirill, how long have you been living in Taiwan?
More than 2 years.
More than 2 years. Tell me, have you had any incidents there related to thefts or some kind of domestic showdowns with local residents? I have one interesting story related to my arrival. When I arrived, there was still COVID, there was quarantine, and upon arrival I had a positive test. That's it, and it so happened that I didn't have time to change. Well, that is, you can't buy Taiwanese dollars in Moscow. And I was planning to buy them upon arrival at the airport. That's it, but upon arrival at the airport, I was, in short, detained with a positive test for COVID. And in the end, in short, they sent us down to the runway. There these customs officers came, they checked everything, put us on a special bus and took us to a state-owned hotel. That's it, well, that is, everything was super soft, super cool. But the problem was that I simply didn't have the local currency. That's it. And when I needed to move from one state-owned to another, I needed to take a taxi. And, in short, a taxi, okay, okay. I had a ULIP card, I could pay with the card, but the problem is that I couldn't pay for the place that I'm moving to, because it was, in short, not a hotel, but a dorm. It was a dorm school that didn't accept the card. They only accepted, well, paper money, which I didn't have. And then, to go through quarantine. Yes, this is like after going through. After the hospital, to sit out the remaining term or what. There was just a 10 plus 7 system upon arrival, that is, 10 days of quarantine and after that 7 days, well, like the same kind of
observation.
Self-isolation, yes, 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 yes. That is, you have to live separately from everyone for 7 days. That is, you have to have either your own apartment or a hotel, and you can't use public transport to go there. Well, that is the story. And so, my university said that I can live in a dorm, in a disgusting dorm. That would be awful. It costs $30 a night there. And I also had to buy a mattress. That's it, but that's not the point. Anyway, when I came there, I had to pay with paper money, which I didn't have. And then, well, in China, There's an office for foreign students. And those who work there, they're called Laoshi, that is, teachers. The main one, the one who supervised us, he lent me 10,000 rubles. That is, we don't know each other personally, he's never seen me, we corresponded. And he, like, through the taxi driver who came to pick me up, he gave me 10,000 rubles. And here's a simple question for you. Imagine some foreigner comes to Russia.
Yeah.
Someone will give him 10,000 rubles. That's it.
Definitely. Russia is a generous soul.
100%. Yes, of course. Answer. Yes, of course, they will give. So, in addition to 10,000 rubles, they will give something else. And, thefts, have they stolen anything from you in 2 years? And once I was riding the bus from IKEA and forgot a bamboo table. Here, and then, in short, I did not find it. Did not find it. And in general, crime, considering that there are fewer cameras here, which means that there is democracy, a market and liberalism, is there more crime here, according to your observations, than on the continent, or is it basically the same? And it seems to me that something, yes, that it is even less. Oh, even so, because in China, I personally, have never encountered, well, that is, in China you feel super safe there, at night and so on, but at the same time there are some, rumors, yes, they're about scammers who throw themselves under the wheels of cars, yes, some there, someone pulls out a phone there with chopsticks, some pickpockets, some scams, in my opinion, you or someone even posted banners on Instagram that someone something, someone there, these are some kind of internet scams and so on. Here, I have not heard anything like that. Well, maybe just because I have not heard it. Maybe because, well, China is very big, and there, of course, well, just this percentage of cases, it is more obvious than here. Here, it may also exist, but not like that. There. But it feels as safe here as on the mainland.
Yeah, there. Interesting. Thank you. Well, actually, I'm not saying goodbye to Taiwan. And during this visit, and because of this visit, well, I got a little bit more immersed in the topic and also met some very interesting people. And I had an idea for a new video. I'm working on it now. And this video will be dedicated to Faina Vakrava. You ask, what? Who is Faina Vakrava? And there is such a unique story. And Chiang Kai-shek had an elder son, and his name was Diango, right? That is, that one was Chan, and this one was Dian. It's funny. Well, actually, yes. And Chiang Kai-shek, he is also Dian. It's just that for some reason in Russian historiography this pronunciation of Chiang Kai-shek was formed. So, he had an elder son Diango. And at one time, Chiang Kai-shek sent him to the Soviet Union to learn the mind, reason. That's it. And then Stalin was still in the Soviet Union. That's it. And Stalin, so to speak, began to patronize him. And when he wanted to return, he said, no, no, don't rush to return. So, go ahead and go to Yekaterinburg, well, then it was probably called Sverdlovsk, and work there at the Uralmash plant. So, gain experience, so to speak, of socialism, communism in practice. And so he went there, and there he met a Russian, Belarusian, there are different versions. Well, most often they say that it was a Belarusian girl, whose name was Faina Vakrava. They fell in love, and he took her with him later, when he was allowed to leave the Soviet Union, he took her with him, went with her to Taiwan. They got married. She gave birth to many children there, and at some point, Chiang Kai-shek's son, given that Chiang Kai-shek was a dictator, as dictators often do, they pass on power by inheritance. Well, and there, naturally, there were elections, and this Diango became president. He was, like, 2 terms. And in fact, this girl from the Soviet Union was the First Lady of the Republic of China. Well, Taiwan is called the Chinese Republic. That's an amazing fate too. She won great love, in fact, of all Taiwanese. And even the president of Taiwan at the time she died was present at her funeral. Here, so I think it's a very interesting story, and I want to make a film about it. Here. So stay in touch, please. And if you like the episode, like it. Comment, subscribe. Thank you. Bye bye.